Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Heather Snyder, who is an Alexander Technique teacher and a Pilates instructor in Lower Manhattan, New York City. Heather, welcome to the show today.
Thank you.
Heather, I'd like you to begin by just giving our listeners who aren't familiar with either the technique or Pilates a very, very short description of each.
Okay, I'll start with Pilates. Pilates is it was set as a specific set of exercises, and it targets the core muscle group. So that's not just the abdominals, although a lot of people see it as that. It's the abdominals, it's the back, it's the buttocks, it's basically like the whole corset around your body. And Pilates really focuses on control, coordination, and the precision of using those muscles together.
And Alexander?
The Alexander technique it's not a specific set of exercises. It's more of a set of principles. So it's an educational system that teaches people to become aware of their perhaps harmful movement patterns, and it gives them the tools to consciously choose a better and a more efficient way of moving or doing any task. So I generally see the main difference is Pilates is a specific set of exercises, and the Alexander technique is a set of skills and information that can be brought into any movement that you do, into any exercise, into any daily activity. Alexander technique can kind of go anywhere and help you with anything.
And I think our listeners will perhaps get a better grasp of those two and the differences and the parallels if you would maybe give us an example or two of how you've used those two modalities to work with clients.
Sure. Well, I've been teaching Pilates longer than the Alexander technique. So my favorite story is about someone named Doug. He has been a client for about probably 7 or 8 years. And I started working with him when I was just teaching Pilates, and he had a lot of lower back pain, you know, a lot of issues that he had for years and years and years. So we worked together for about 3 years, and his back pain had pretty much gone away. He was up to doing intermediate Pilates exercises. He was feeling really good. Every once in a while, his back would bother him a little bit, but generally he was feeling much, much better. At that time, it was towards the very end of my Alexander technique training, and I was feeling pretty confident about those ideas. And I said to him, "Hey, would you be interested in trying out this technique that I've been working with?" Because the whole time I felt like it would really help him, but I didn't have, you know, the training yet to say, let's try it. So now that I was pretty much done with my training, I said, okay, let's give it a try. And he was really open to it. So at the end of, I think, two of our sessions, we just did a little bit of Alexander technique work. And I worked with him on the way that he was standing, walking, basically when he was vertical, because a lot of Pilates is horizontal. So we worked on a lot of the ways he was moving vertically with gravity. And I pointed out some of the patterns in his movement that I could see were problematic. And with Pilates, we just couldn't get past a certain point with his back. So we did this just two times, and he was so excited because he just felt like he emailed me the next day after the first time we did, and he said, "I feel like we've had a breakthrough. We have to keep doing this." So basically what happened is, and since that time, we've been doing Alexander technique at the end of every Pilates session. So since that time, he has been working on his own with this new understanding of the Alexander technique to lengthen through his back, to extend out the crown of his head and get more movement in how he's using himself throughout his life, his daily life, which has really made a huge difference. So that's an example of how I've sort of added in the Alexander technique afterwards. And I also have other examples of how I've sort of brought it into the sessions a little more directly.
Well, maybe if you wouldn't mind giving one more example, and then
sure,
we'll talk a little bit about how the two processes work together
sure,
in more general terms.
So another example is Well, and this, I mean, this can sort of be grouped together in, a little bit. With a bunch of Pilates clients that I have, I've started adding in some of the Alexander Technique principles to all of the movement. And in general, what I find is a lot of people have really tense necks. Their necks are trying to do a lot of the work that the abdominals are supposed to do in the exercises. So I work with people to, first of all, just notice the tension that they have in their necks, bring a lot of awareness to what it is that they're doing, because the habits that they have on the Pilates mat are generally the habits that they have in their lives. And I try to make that connection really clear so that they can understand how they can address this, not just in the Pilates session, but in general. So there's a lot of awareness brought to maybe the tension in the neck. And then while we're doing the exercise, I keep kind of asking them and reminding them to release the tension in their neck by lengthening through their spine as they maybe roll up. Like I'll use a specific example of doing the exercise, the roll up, which, and in case you don't know what that is, you basically lie on your back, you reach your arms up to the ceiling, and you slowly lift your head up and peel your spine up, your back up, one vertebrae at a time off the mat until you're reaching forward towards your legs. So what I'll focus on is having people really lengthen through the crown of their head, lengthen through their spine as they roll up to release tension in the neck and to get as much length as possible so then the abdominals really do the work, as opposed to just kind of craning your neck forward and, you know, forcing your way through the exercise. I try to find a lot of ease in the movement and work and ease. There's sort of a partnership that I think is a big thing that happens when you bring the Alexander Technique into Pilates. There's a lot of ease that you bring into the exercises, but it's still work. I mean, people are still working. It's not like there's no work involved. I think that's a misconception sometimes. So I think just a lot of efficiency and ease comes into the Pilates movements, and they just become, they're just much more efficient exercises, I have found, when you add the Alexander Technique principles to them.
Mm-hmm. So we've been talking so far really about people who are studying Pilates and using mm-hmm. the Alexander Technique to do their Pilates exercises more efficiently and more effectively. And in a way that's, I mean, the Alexander Technique is about learning how to do whatever you want to do more effectively.
Right.
And that could certainly include Pilates exercises. I wonder if you've, worked in the other direction a little mm-hmm. bit, that is someone who's taking Alexander lessons from you, perhaps
yeah.
hasn't had any Pilates
yeah.
exposure. I'm kind of guessing that at some point you might see a usefulness for them doing a bit of Pilates. Do you have an example mm-hmm. of that?
Yes, I do. Actually, just recently, I've been working with this woman for maybe 2 months. She's been taking Alexander Technique lessons with a colleague of mine, and the colleague sent her over to me because she thought that she was doing really well with the principles of the technique, but her body was just very weak. She couldn't support herself doing it. So these are actually some of my favorite people to work with, because they have these concepts of the Alexander Technique. They're, you know, they know how to release tension. They're using their bodies really well, but they're just weak in certain muscles and they need the strength. So Pilates is great then, because you need strength in your body in order to maintain any length, any of that good use that we talk about with the Alexander Technique. You can't do it if you have a limp, weak body. You need a certain amount of strength. So the core strength that you can get from Pilates can really just support your work with the Alexander Technique and help you progress, not just with the Alexander Technique, but just with everything in your life. When you bring those two together, it's like you just progress a whole lot faster.
Yeah, so. And that matches my experience, and mm-hmm. I have a colleague here in Nebraska who also teaches both Pilates and Alexander and is a physical therapist as
mm-hmm.
well. And the consensus, the view that we've come to, and it sounds like you have as well, is that a little bit of one can be incredibly helpful for anyone studying the other.
Yes, definitely.
That, and I think sometimes, of course, I know a lot more about the Alexander technique than I do about Pilates. I have no training in Pilates, but I think that a lot of Alexander teachers have an idea that you don't really need to supplement the Alexander technique with anything else, that it kind of will take care of everything. And I think the reality is, as you said, that some people's just simply don't have the strength and aren't. You could probably make an argument that if they were to take Alexander lessons and apply those lessons to their life for many, many, many years or lifetimes, perhaps that strength would emerge. But I don't think that's practical. And I think for most people who don't have a lot of core strength, they're going to need to do something to develop it. And from what I can see, Pilates is, if it's well done, is one of the most effective ways to do that. And that certainly matches my own personal experience.
And I agree that there is this idea in the Alexander world, and it's because Alexander said it himself, basically, that we shouldn't exercise. Things are a little different now. So that idea is still there, that no exercise should be done until you have all of these principles mastered, and that's just not realistic, I don't think. It's my opinion. And I think that if you have some information on the Alexander technique and then you start doing an exercise, if you do it with consciousness and you're aware of what's going on in your body, it can work. It can be very helpful. And I do think it's necessary. Sometimes, like you said, you just don't have the strength. And maybe if you did these Alexander technique exercises and principles or whatever for 50 years, you could build up the strength. But if you can do some actual exercises with consciousness, it really goes a long, long way.
And Alexander himself did distinguish in his writings between what he Alexander had a term "ius," USC, which is really a kind of a shorthand for how you use your body as you do things, kind of a general term that he used to describe that. And but he also further distinguished between what he called conditions of use and manner of use. And I think a lot of Alexander teachers even are not terribly familiar with that distinction, but I think it's a crucial one for this discussion. When he talked about manner of use, he was talking about how you organize yourself to do things. How well do you use what's there? And by conditions of use, it was pretty much what's there. And with what's there, perhaps even in the absence of any mental self-direction. And I think the implicit assumption that a lot of Alexander teachers make is that if you improve the manner of use, which certainly the Alexander technique will do and can have incredibly powerful effects, that somehow the conditions of use will reflect that, perhaps not immediately, but over time. But I think it's the time issue that really is important here. That time might be, as you say, 50 years, or it might be, if you could reincarnate yourself, several reincarnations before you would get there. And why not do something to speed that up? And especially, why not if you have the Alexander tools to do it well? And I assume you would agree with that sort of take on the issue.
Definitely. I think if you have the tools to do it well, then you'll only help everything. If you don't have any tools at all and you go in with your harmful habits and then you work with your harmful habits in a Pilates class and you leave with the same habits, maybe reinforced, that can be problematic.
Maybe if you wouldn't mind addressing that a little more, and particularly perhaps any Pilates instructors or people who are taking Pilates classes, why they should consider bringing some Alexander technique knowledge to bear in the process, and why a Pilates instructor in particular might do well to explore the technique a bit.
Yeah, well, I'm actually starting to create workshops for Pilates teachers about the benefits of the Alexander technique. And the reason I'm doing this is because I've seen a lot of Pilates teachers that have incredible knowledge about the body and the muscles and how they work together, but there's a disconnect between doing the Pilates work and teaching it, and then what they're doing with themselves in the rest of their lives. And I just think that's really fascinating that there's such a disconnect between those two things, when what we learn in the Alexander technique and what I know for myself is it's all connected. The habits you have in one place are the habits you take to another place. And if you can bring more awareness to what you're doing in your body, in your everyday life, it's only going to help you when you get on the Pilates mat and help you when you teach your students. So I feel like, teaching Pilates teachers about these techniques will help them find more awareness in their own bodies. Because the thing about the Alexander technique is you really need to kind of own this information for yourself before you teach it, which is why we have a 3-year training program. So if Pilates teachers can start to understand their own harmful movements and, not just harmful, but just all of their movement patterns and how they work together, the more they can understand that, the more they can see it in their clients, and they can help their clients. And it doesn't mean they're going to, use the Alexander technique or teach the Alexander technique, but they can start to have a different perspective that they can add in there.
And I think it would affect how they teach Pilates. If I can just give my own experience, I took Pilates classes from someone for about a year, and this Pilates instructor, I liked her a lot. She was obviously highly trained in Pilates. But she had no exposure to the Alexander technique, and a lot of times she would use words, for example, that I had to retranslate them for myself, because she would use words like that would tend to imply that we're fixed people, we don't have internal movement. She would have. There was just a kind of a lack of understanding of some of those basic Alexander ideas about quality of movement, I would say, and the language she would use. It seemed to me that someone who couldn't translate it properly in a way would be at a severe disadvantage, and it was much, much better. Would have been much, much better if she had had some exposure to the technique. And then I eventually studied a bit with my colleague, who's both a teacher and a Pilates instructor, and it just made a world of difference. I made far greater and more useful changes in a couple of months that way than I did in over a year with the first instructor. And I think one of the things that's kind of interesting as a result of all that, I went and read Pilates books. There are only two of them, and if you read his books and then go to a typical Pilates class, you might not see a lot of connection between the two. Would you agree with that?
Yes, well, people have changed it up a bit and added their own personal ideas in, and there are different philosophies within the Pilates world right now. There are huge differences.
Right.
Yeah.
But just on the point of, I mean, there are differences in amongst Alexander
Yes,
teachers as well.
definitely.
But just on the point of Well, here's an example. There's a Pilates exercise called the hundreds. Is that the right term? It's been a while since I, and I finally got up to the point where I could do 100 of them, and I was quite proud. And when I went to class saying that, my teacher said, "Well, now we got to go for 200." And I remember thinking, "No, I don't want to do that." It was, and if you read Pilates, he's very clear that the point is not to do them over and over and over again, to do them a certain number, but his emphasis was on the quality of how you did it. And if you read his two, it's almost like one and a half books, really. It's not much reading. You can read everything he ever wrote. It's very clear that he was very much focused on quality of movement, not quantity. And what I was beginning to see with my own Pilates instructor, that it was kind of going into quantity, and that just didn't appeal to me and didn't have as much use as when I for me as when I studied it where the shift was on quality, in this case Alexander quality, so to speak. So is there anything else that you would like to say either to people who have had some Alexander experience or people who've had some Pilates experience that we haven't touched on?
I guess maybe one of the most important things for people that either have had Alexander and know Pilates or have had Pilates and know Alexander is just to keep an open mind about all of it, I think, because there can be assumptions about the technique or about Pilates, and I think people just need to explore for themselves, really try things out for themselves, because there are a lot of assumptions about what Pilates is or what the Alexander technique is, and you really can't know until you experience it, especially with the technique. So I think just I always like to bring that into awareness, just for people to have an open mind about all of these things, try it out for themselves. They can both be beneficial, and for some people they may not like Pilates. They may not be the exercise for them, but maybe something else would be. And maybe, I mean, I think Alexander technique is pretty universal, but maybe someone will feel that they don't need it because their use is just, exactly how we all want it to be.
That's certainly possible.
There's got to be someone out there.
And I think it's worth maybe mentioning that if again going back to the two men themselves, Joseph Pilates and F.M. Alexander, the parallels between their ways of thinking about human movement are extraordinary, actually. There are whole sections in some of Pilates' writings that could have come right out of Alexander's books and vice versa. They both, I think it's fair to say, they both saw the same issue. And they both talk about how so many people seem to be using themselves so badly, and they both felt that they had come up with a powerful solution to the problem they saw. I think their solutions are significantly different in that Pilates developed these highly targeted exercises and strengthening routines, and I guess there's some stretching routines in there too, aren't there? Whereas Alexander was more looked for a way that you could learn to direct yourself as you did whatever you did, and he had a lot less. He was not particularly enthusiastic about exercises per se, but and I think part of that difference is just the nature of those two men. If you see pictures of Alexander, he was I think a relatively small and frail person, whereas Pilates, I assume, was kind of muscular and strong.
Well, he was frail as a child, and then his answer to it was to really build strength in the physical bodies, and he became a very strong man.
And I think Alexander, my sense of Alexander is that the main sport he engaged in was horseback riding. I mean, he wasn't an athlete, but well, I hope we've said enough to intrigue people who are familiar with one of these two modalities to explore the other, or if they're not familiar with either one, to explore one and then perhaps the other. And if you, the listener, are anywhere near Lower Manhattan in New York, Heather Schneider will, you can do both at the same time with her if you
Yeah.
want. So that's kind of a bonus. So again, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and my guest today has been Heather Schneider, who is an Alexander Technique teacher and Pilates instructor in Manhattan. Heather, thank you so much for being on the program
You're
today.
welcome. Thank you.